If you're with your Bibles, let's run quickly to Matthew 28. Matthew 28 from verses 18. Matthew 28 from verse 18. The Bible says, "And Jesus came and spake to them, saying, All authority," that's the word power, "has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He says, Go therefore and make disciples of every nation. He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. He says, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age." Glory to God. So, looking at that word, disciples. Go make disciples. Go teach all nations. Now, that word, disciples, make disciples. It's from the Greek word that we know. Matitio, right? Matitio. Our word matitio is a word which implies how one is enrolled in a citadel of learning. When he starts to becoming a scholar. Are you hearing me? When one is enrolled, how one is enrolled in a citadel of learning. When he starts to becoming a scholar. In a chosen discipline or a chosen profession. Higher in a chosen discipline or a chosen profession. Now the word matitio has a noun. Our matitio is, it has a noun. And the noun is the word matitis. Matitis is a word used for an apprentice. A student, one who is given to learn. You know what I mean? An apprentice, a student, one who is given to learn. Hallelujah.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Yes,
one who is given to learn an act or a discipline. One who is given to learn an act or a discipline. Now look at verse 19. He says, make disciples. He says, baptizing them. That word, baptizing them, will be the same word, or will be the same word, or the same thing Mark will be referring to. Do you know when he says baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost? It's the same thing Mark is referring to in Mark chapter 16. Mark 16, verse 15. Hallelujah. Look at Mark 16, verse 15, please. Mark 16, verse 15. He says, and he said to them, go into the water and preach the gospel to every creature. Say, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who doesn't believe shall be condemned. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He who doesn't believe shall be condemned. Amen. He says that. He says, preach the gospel, he who believes and is baptized. Now, that word baptized is that Greek word baptism. Means to be immersed. He that believes and is baptized. Remember, who said it's not saying different things. He that believes, that is baptized. But he that believing is the baptism. Hallelujah. Now see, he that believes and is baptized. That word is the word that means to be immersed. To be immersed into Christ. To be joined. That's the word baptizo. Baptizo means to be joined to something. To be put into something. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 17. He says, don't you know as many of you. Look at 1 Corinthians 6:17.
First Corinthians 17.
For he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. He who is joined to the Lord. He who is joined to the Lord. Did you see that? That is the image. He says it again in chapter 12, verse 15. He says, for in one spirit we are all baptized into one body. We are all immersed. Did you see that? Hallelujah. We are all immersed. So it is not water baptism. Hallelujah. What Mark deals with also, I mean, what Mark deals with, and what Matthew is saying in Matthew 8:19, is how one becomes a disciple when we believe the message preached. So when Matthew writes and says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, well, you see the word baptizing them is not a is not something that they will keep doing continuously. No. He says that is how they become the disciples. Are you following me? Are you following me? That is how they become disciples. Glory to God. Are you following me? So they become disciples by baptism. What is the baptism? Believing. Are you following me? It's not water baptism. Glory to God. Hallelujah. When a man believes the gospel, he's immersed into Christ. He's baptized into Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So therefore, believing the gospel preached becomes the entry point. Becomes the entry point to becoming a disciple. And this happens once. So the entry point to becoming a disciple is when a man believes. Hallelujah. When a man believes. Hallelujah. So Matthew went ahead to now tell us how disciples, or how discipleship, right? How discipleship will be done. Glory to God. Remember what he says in verse 19, baptizing them with how you become a disciple, right? So now that you're a disciple, how will the discipleship, how will martyrio be carried out? Verse 20, this is teaching them. Hallelujah. Remember, who will he be teaching? Those who are now disciples, right? Those who are now, can we say those who are believed, right? Can we say those who have been baptized? Those who have been baptized. Are you following? Glory to God. Glory to God. Look at Acts 2:42. When they believed, 3,000 were added. Bible says in Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, the apostles' teaching. That's the word. They continued in the apostles' teaching. So that is how the disciples are raised. Teaching. Do you understand? Hallelujah. Teaching. That is the word didasko in the Greek. D-I-D-A-S-K-O. Didasko. The word didasko is a causative verb. It's a verb. Hallelujah. It's a causative verb that shows one's effort in explaining. Is a causative verb that shows one's effort in explaining. It is from a primary verb, daho. It's from a primary verb what? Daho, D-A-O, which implies to teach and impart learning to another. Are you following me? It's from a primary verb, daho, D-A-O, which implies to teach and impart learning on another. Glory to God. So when he says teaching them, it has to do with what? Imparting learning on another. Glory to God. So the word didasko has some surrounding words. It has some words surrounding it. Hallelujah. Words like didache. Didache. Didache deals with the mode of explaining. Didache deals with the mode of explaining. Okay. So, didache deals with the mode of explaining. Hallelujah. We have another word, another family word.
from didaskos. We have another one, didaktikos. Didaktikos. Not tikos, didaktikos. It deals with skillfulness in explaining. Didaktikos. D-I-D-A-K-T-I-T-O-S. Didaktikos. It deals with skillfulness. That is what you'll find in 1 Timothy chapter 3. It says apt to teach. Apt to teach. That is to say skillful to teach. Hallelujah. If I have another one, didaskalia. Before we look at didaskalia, we'll have didaskalos. Didaskalos, which is the teacher, the one who teaches. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We now have didaskalia. Didaskalia means, implies what is being taught or explained. What is being taught or explained. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What is being taught or explained. Paul in 2 Timothy 3 verse 16. You can get there. 2 Timothy 3 16. I'll start from verse 15. He says, and from a child you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise. Which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And he says, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Why come back to that? Hallelujah. I warn you. Hallelujah. He says, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. All Scripture. Look at what he says. He says, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And is profitable. And is profitable. That word profitable is the word ophilimos, meaning the scriptures is, or this is the reason for it. Are you following me? It's profitable for doctrine. That's the word didaskalia. So Paul tells Timothy that the goal of explaining scriptures will be for what? The goal of scriptures is for teaching, is for doctrine. That is the word didaskalia, for explaining. Right? Hallelujah. He now says for teaching. He now says for reproof. Did you see that? For correction. For instruction in righteousness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is all scriptures given by the inspiration of God, and it is the Greek puts it like this: Ophilimos pros didaskalia pros elestros pros epatonosis pros paideia and diakosune. What it just means is just simple. It means the scriptures brings about is for doctrine. Doctrine will now produce reproof. Are you following me? That is the reason for the word pros. Pros means in view of. This is the reason for it. This is the result. Are you following me? Now the result of the teaching of the word is to bring about reproof. Reproof will bring about correction. That is the word epatonosis. Hallelujah. That's the word epatonosis, which means to be straightened. To be straightened. This is that, to be straightened. It is epatonosis. It now says pros, paideia and diakosune. That word paideia comes again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when it brings that word paideia, is what we've said it means spiritual growth. We're going to see that shortly. So that means the scriptures is given for explanation, and the explanation is to the end that will grow up spiritually. That is paideia and diakosune. Are you following me? That will grow up what? Spiritually. Now let's look at something. That word paideia. The word paideia is used for a father and son relationship. A father and son relationship, or a father and child relationship. To show how the father trains the child. A father and child relationship. To show how the father trains the child. Look at Ephesians 6:4. Ephesians 6:4. Ephesians 6:4. It says, and you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training. That's the word paideia. In the training and admonition of the Lord. Do you see that? What is that showing you? Growth. Do you see that? Growth. So Paideia is used for training to bring about growth. You find it also in Hebrews 12 from verse 5 to 8. Hebrews 12. Are you there? From verses 5 to 8. He says, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speak to you as to sons." He says, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord." That's the word chastening, Paideia. He said, "Do not despise the chastening of the son." Of the Lord. He now says, "Don't be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son in whom he receives." Hallelujah. He said, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom the father does not chasten? For if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Are you following that? Very important. So, quickly, that word chastening is from the Hebrew word musar. Musar. It's from the Hebrew word musar. M-U-S-A-R. Musar. And what you find in Hebrews 3, verse 12. That is where the writer of, in Proverbs 3, verse 12. That is where the writer of Hebrews is actually quoting from. Hallelujah. Proverbs 3. Let's look at Proverbs 3, 12 quickly. Proverbs 3, 12. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects. This is that. Whom the Lord loves, he corrects, as a father the son in whom he delights. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Look at verses 11. It says, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction." Do not despise the chastening. That's the word chastening, musar. Are you following me? That's the word musar. The word you find in Proverbs 1, verse 2. You find it again in Proverbs 1, 2. It says, "So that you incline your ears to my wisdom and apply your heart to understanding." Did you see that? Hallelujah. You incline your ears to wisdom. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift your voice for understanding. Oh, sorry, I'm reading Proverbs 2. I'm not yet there. Sorry. I said Proverbs 1. Sorry. Verses 2. It says, "To know wisdom and instruction." Instruction is the word. Check me. Instruction, to perceive the word of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom. Instruction. Did you see that? Look at verse 7. He said, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of the knowledge. A fool despises wisdom and instruction and chastening and training." Did you see that? Instruction. Verse 8. "My son, hear the instruction of your father." Did you see that? It's always a father and son relationship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at chapter 4. Verse 1. Chapter 4, verse 1. I say, "Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding." The instruction of a father. Instruction. Did you see that? What relationship are you seeing? Father and child, right? And what do you also see apart from that will not inform you of what the writer of Hebrews is writing on? What the writer of Hebrews is writing on, what he quoted, he was quoting from Hebrews, from Proverbs 1. Hallelujah. Remember, I taught us context. That's why I must be around for all meetings. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Context was within everything. Glory to God. Because while he was quoting, he was not reading. Let me tell you something. In the New Testament, because you know that scripture was not written in verses and chapters, right? So when you see a reference, when you see the writers and the epistles referencing a book in the Old Testament, they are telling you to go and read everything. Hallelujah. Are you following me? So what they pen down is for you to read everything. So they were writing everything. But you know, imagine you now have the old 39 books in the, you have a Ghana Monitor to carry. So those are references. Because they expect before you get to those references in what you have as the Torah or what you have as the 39 books, you have to read everything. Hallelujah. Are you following me? You have to read everything, everything before you get there. Glory to God. Are you hearing me? So that's why sometimes, okay, if you read, it says, I guess that was Peter, it says, in the second Psalm. Jesus, when you hear in the second Psalm, that means you have to go and read. Hallelujah. He expects you to read everything. Do you know what he's talking about? Glory to God. Glory to God. So, the writer of Hebrews is writing from Proverbs. Hallelujah. Now, we can see the word Musa. Musa, which is the word for chastening. Right? Is how a father trains a child with words, instructions, right? Words. With words. So something not to lose sight of. Something not to lose sight of. When you hear the word didasko, teaching them, the act of teaching, we say it's a causative verb, right? Right? We say it's a causative verb. Now, when you hear the word teaching them, something you must not miss is the fact that this teaching is not for their spirit. Are you hearing me? Eh? The teaching is not to enlighten their spirit. No. Glory to God. Are you following me? It's not for their spirit to be enlightened. No. Or for their spirit to come to know God. No. Rather, it is for their mind. It's their mind that needs the renewal. Are you following me? Who needs the renewal? It's the mind. Glory to God. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Let's see what Paul was able to do for us here in Colossians 3. Colossians 3. Colossians 3, from verse 5. Are you there? We're going to have a bit long reading. Look at verse 5. It says, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. That word put to death is the word that actually means see as dead. If you read in context from what you have been saying from chapter 1, they see as dead your members. Members there means functions, right? Which are on the earth. And he mentions them. He says, which is fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is what? Idolatry. Did you see that? Right? Now say, you should put to death these things. See, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Now, mark that word coming upon. It's not actually coming upon. When you look at the construction from the King James, makes you think as if, make you look as if it's going to come in future. No, it is actually the I wonder why I'm doing this today, but let's just have it to, because it will inform what I'm about to tell us. Hallelujah. Because of these things, the wrath of God is not coming upon. No, the wrath of God is in the sons of disobedience. You see that? The wrath of God is in the sons of disobedience. Remember, we say the wrath of God is actually God doing nothing, right? Okay. Go and listen to the message on temptations, trials, and persecutions. We have it there. Hallelujah. So, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. It doesn't say verse 8, but now you yourselves are put off. Do you see that? But now you yourself have to put off, rather. You yourself have to put off all this anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language, that's the word, shameful language, out of your mouth. Verse 9, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Do you see that? He says, you have put off the old man. See now, you put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man. You see, when a man is saved, remember in chapter 1, verse 13, it says, you have been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear son. Hallelujah. In chapter 1, verse 13, it says, in whom you have redemption, through his blood. They say the forgiveness of sins. That's chapter 1 verse 14. So he has told you this is what has happened to you in Christ. Hallelujah. Right? He's telling you a believer's reality. Glory to God. I didn't even tell us the topic. But having our teaching, our topic is confessional reality. I just remember. Hallelujah. And it's not on the topic confessional reality.
All of you sitting outside, I didn't tell you to sit outside. I'm not having to overflow. I think you guys should stay outside. Not to sit outside.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, let's continue. So, now he has, in chapter 1, he has told you this is your reality. This is your reality in Christ. Hallelujah. He has told you this is who you are in Christ. Right? Right? We just saw, you say you've been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of the dear son. And he's telling you about your person in him, in Christ. He now tells you that, see, you have put off the old man. Remember, he has told you before now, which is what we're going to see. He tells you to put off, right? He tells you to put off. Now he now tells you again in chapter, in verses, that should be verses 9. I mean verses 10, it says you have put on the new man. In verse 9 it says you have put off. This is what has happened to you in Christ. In Christ you have put off the old man. Did you see that? And have put on the new man. Glory to God. You've put off the old nature, you've put on the new nature. He said, with his deed. That is to put off. You put off the old nature with his deed. He said, and I've put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge, according to the image of him who created him. Now look at that. Hallelujah. So in verse 8, he tells us to put off, right? Right? What do you put off? The old man. In verse 8, it tells you to put off. What did he tell you to put off? The deeds. Look at verse 8. It tells you to put off the deeds. And he mentioned them in verses 5. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In verse 5, he says, you see those things as dead. I want you to understand how Paul is writing. Say, you see them as dead. So in seeing them as dead, what do? He kicked them away. Hallelujah. That means they have no power over you, over your body. That's what he writes in Romans chapter 6. Glory to God. You see them as dead. Glory to God. You see them as dead. Then he now says in verse 9 that you. So, why can't we put them off? Why can't we put off the deeds of the old nature? He now tells you in verse 9. Because why? You've put off the new old man. Did you see that? So you can easily put them to death. Are you following me? You can easily shut them out because you've put off the old man and have put on the new man. Look at verse 10. See, we have put on the new man, the new nature. He says, what is that nature? He says that nature is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of God. Where does that take you to? Genesis 1, verse 1. Genesis 1, verse 26. Are you following me? Glory to God. So when he says the old nature, the old man, right, it refers to sin, right, the nature of sin. Then in verse 3, he says we have put on the new man, or the new nature, which is renewed in knowledge according to the image of God. That is referring to what we have received in Christ. Hallelujah. So our spirits, the spirit of the man born again, is well knowledgeable about God. It says he's renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. As you say, this knowledge that your spirit is well knowledgeable about is about the things of God. Hallelujah. So you don't miss it. Hallelujah. Are you following me? It's about God. So our spirit is well knowledgeable about the things of God. So then, if our spirit is well knowledgeable about the things of God, if our spirit knows God, then why do we then teach these scriptures? Why do we then serve the Lord? Also, not serve the Lord. Why do we then teach the scripture? Why do we then hear the word gospel? Why do we then read the Bible? It's because, listen, it's because our mind needs to comprehend the things of God. Do you see that? Our mind needs to comprehend the things of God. So that is why we need to be taught. Glory to God. Our spirit is well knowledgeable, but our mind isn't. Our mind isn't. Glory to God. Glory to God. Because for you to walk on the earth, for you to walk on the earth, it will involve your mind. Are you following me? For, hallelujah, our walk in the earth must involve your mind. Glory to God. You cannot take decisions. You cannot act outside your mind. You can't. Glory to God. So your mind is involved in your earthly work. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This is why in 1 Corinthians 3. In 1 Corinthians 3, remember in 1 Corinthians 3, he called the church. In 1 Corinthians 3, he called the church at Corinth. He called them babes. He said, I couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual. He said, but as unto babes. Do you get it? He couldn't speak to them as unto spiritual, but as unto babes. Why? He called them babes not because they are babes spiritually, like their spirit is baby. No. He called them babes because of their conduct. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verses 1, it says, and I, brethren, couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. Did you see that? As to what? As to babes in Christ. As if I fed you with meat and not with strong food, for until now you are not still able to receive it, and even now you are not still able. See, for you are still carnal, and for where there is strife, envy, where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Did you see that? Hallelujah. So because of their conduct of strife, envy, and division, he calls them babes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he said they acted as mere men. That is to say, they acted as though they are without the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. As mere men. A mere man is a man who is not born again. He's a mere man. Hallelujah. Yet he says to them, they are spiritual. You see that? These same people, he calls them spiritual. They're spiritual by default. But yet, they're in conduct, they were behaving as babes. Glory to God. Glory to God. Are you following that? Are you following the trend? Right? He called them babes, but this is who they are. Because of what strife and envy, they are babes. Glory to God. So what did he now teach them? For them to take that what? Strife and envy away. Put off. Did you see that? You can put off because you are spiritual. But the mere man can put off because he is not spiritual. Are you following that? Are you following that? Glory to God. Look at to the church in Ephesus. In Ephesians 1 verse 17 to 21. Paul began to pray for them. He said that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. He didn't say that your spirit. No. He said the eyes of your understanding. Meaning, Paul's prayer was centered on their understanding. Right? Their minds. Their minds is in view. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because spiritual growth is not found in the spirit. Well, yes, spiritual growth is not found in the spirit. Spiritual growth is rather in our conduct. Will be found in our conduct. Our minds. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's found in your conduct. And the way spiritual growth comes. The way spiritual growth comes is feeding your mind with the information available in the spirit. So spiritual growth comes by feeding your mind with the information available in the spirit. which is what we have written.
That information available in the spirit, that our spirit is more knowledgeable about, is what we have written.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Are you following me?
Yes.
So, we can a bit backtrack. We can go back to Matthew 28, verse 20. Where it says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the age.
Now, let's put it back together. Let's arrange them together again. It says, teaching them. Remember, the teaching will be for the what? For your mind, for spiritual growth, right? In view of spiritual growth, right?
So, we can put it this way and say, teaching them in view of spiritual growth, right? Right? Teaching them that their minds will be enlightened in view of spiritual growth, right? Right? So the teaching will be in view of spiritual growth, which will be found in their conduct. Look at Paul to Philemon. He wanted Philemon to walk in love, and he said that the communication, he prayed for him, that the communication of your faith will become effectual by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in me in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. He prays for what? The communication of his faith will become effectual. Right? Effectual. Operative. Do you see that? Operative. His mind is involved. Hallelujah. The mind is involved. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, teaching them in view of spiritual growth, which will be found in their conduct, hallelujah, hallelujah, will be what will be done in the what? Local church, right? When believers are gathered together. Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that will now flow into their speech. It will be found in their speech also. We'll get to see that shortly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll get to see that shortly. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's observe Matthew 15 quickly. Matthew 15. We have quite a study to do in Matthew 15. But something you have to see critically. Something that becomes critical for us to see from Matthew 18 as we go into Matthew 20, Matthew 15, is the fact that, see, teaching them, we said it will be for the mind, right? Right? So when Jesus tells them, teaching them to observe what I've commanded you, what would you use to observe? What would you use to observe? Is it your spirit or your mind? Is your mind? Hallelujah. Do you understand me? Glory to God. Hallelujah. So teaching them to observe will be what? For their minds to be able to comprehend what has happened to them in the spirit. Are you following me? What has happened to them in the spirit? Okay. Okay. Now, listen to this. Which will be in view of what? Spiritual growth, right? Right? Spiritual growth. Even from the word matitio, you should know that spiritual growth is in view. Because the word matitio, when it says go make disciples, is the word disciples is what matitio, which means what? How one is enrolled in a citadel of learning where he learns a particular art for what? So he can be a professional in that field. You understand? So you know that there is growth, right? There will be growth. You have promotions, right? There will be growth. So therefore, you have the same thing. Glory to God. But this growth is not growth from mustard seed to candle lighters to from peculiar to candle lighters to armor bearers. No. Hallelujah.
If you don't know what I'm talking about, don't bother your head. Hallelujah. But this growth will be found in your conduct. Hallelujah. I follow you. Glory to God. Conduct will be evolving, will be changing. Glory to God. And this will also flow into your speech. So spiritual growth can be seen in our conduct, found in our speech. Found in our speech. It will be found in our speech. Remember, part of what Paul would tell them in the church of Colossae to put out to be what? We will be what? Filthy language. Right? Shameful language. Shameful speech. Did you see that? So, spiritual growth will be found also in our speech, in our communication. Paul will say that the communication of your faith will become effectual. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that will be both in your conduct and in your speech. That is in Philemon, right? Be found in your conduct and in your speech. Glory to God. So in Matthew 15 from verse 1, now there arose a question from the Pharisees to Jesus concerning his disciples and what they were eating. Now, the scribes and the Pharisees the Pharisees who were from Jerusalem, came to Jesus saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." Right? Now listen to Jesus' answer. Jesus' answer is not that you should wash your hand before you eat. It's good hygiene, right? Look at Jesus' response. You know, Jesus, like I've always thought and thought of, Jesus' response will be what? What? In view of what? What he would do. Are you following me? In view of redemption. Jesus' answer, even if he, watch how he responds to every question he was asked, he responded from the scriptures. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory to God. Look at what he said. And he answered and said to them, "Why do you transgress the commandment of God because of your traditions?" Do you see that? So why? Look at when. Why did Jesus say this? He said, "For they do not wash their hands when they want to eat." Hallelujah! And when you use that word "wash," what is in view? When you use that word "wash," what is in view? A new beginning. Hallelujah. A new beginning is in view. So now Jesus is saying, come on. What the prophet and what Moses and the prophet was writing to you concerning when you hear "wash, wash your hand, wash," he's talking about the new beginning, salvation in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. That is the washing away of sin. The taking away of sin. Not for you to now start using it for your tradition. Did you see that? So Jesus now rebuked them because they said, because of the fact that they didn't wash their hands to eat, that they were disobeying the traditions of the elders. Jesus said, no. Your tradition, you yourself, is your traditions that have made you disobey what has been written. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Are you following that? I want you to see. I said, why do you transgress the commandment of God? Because of your traditions. Because your tradition man is blinding your eyes to see that when he talks about washing, talking about the washing away of sins. Glory to God. For God commanded, saying, "Honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death." But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, "Whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God," then he needed not honor. Listen to what he said. He needed not honor the father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrite. Well, did Isaiah prophesy about you saying, "These people draw to me with their mouths," I want you to listen to this, "and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandment of men." Hallelujah. When he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, "Hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth,
This defiles a man. Jesus taught honor. And I said, this is not what goes into him, the mouth that defiles a man. But what comes out of the mouth that defiles a man? A lot of people have used it for several things. Hallelujah. Are you listening to that song? He said, no, no, no. It's not what goes into a man that defiles a man. It's what comes out of the man. He didn't say what goes into a man. He said what goes into the mouth. Hallelujah. Mouth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let us read down through, then we'll look at all together. Then his disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard these things? And he answered and said, every plant which my father, every father has not planted must be uprooted, or shall be, will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. Then Peter answered and said to him, explain this parable to us. Which parable? Not what goes into the mouth. Right? Now look at what Jesus said. Do you not understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? Where is it eliminated? In your white room. Hallelujah. What goes into the mouth? It defecates and it goes into the suck away. Is it what goes into the mouth? Goes into the stomach and is eliminated. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hand does not defile a man. So he's talking about food. Glory to God. Not information. No, food. He said, no, he's not. Why are you listening to those gossip about that preacher? He said, no, no, it doesn't do me anything. The Bible says, no one going to the man. Keep quiet. You don't know scripture. It's food he's talking about. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's see what Jesus is saying here. Look at verse 11. He says, no one going to the man that defies a man. So Jesus is reading from Moses. In fact, Jesus is reading from Moses and Proverbs. Together, we're going to see that shortly. Hallelujah. And then we'll look at it also next week. He's reading from Moses and Proverbs. He's reading Deuteronomy chapter 30. From verses 11 to 19. We'll get to see that now. And Proverbs 4:20. He also reads Proverbs 6. From verse 12 to 15. He's reading all of them together. Hallelujah. Jesus is reading them together. Hallelujah. So when he says what goes into the mouth is food. And what pours out of the mouth is what brings about salvation to a man. That's what Jesus is saying. That's why he says what comes out of a man is what defiles the man. Do you get that? We're going to see that now. Let's look at Moses. Hallelujah. Look at Moses. Deuteronomy chapter 30 quickly. Look at what Jesus is speaking. Deuteronomy 30. Verse 11, just to short it. He says, for this is the commandment which I do command you today. It is not too mysterious for you, nor is it too far off. It is not in heaven that you may say, that you should say, who are ascending to heaven and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us to bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. See, I've set before you today life and good, death and evil. Hallelujah. 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 Okay. In that I command you today to love the Lord your God and walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land you go to possess. Hallelujah. He said, but if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. Did you see? Hallelujah. This is what defiles a man. And you shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go and possess. I call heaven and earth as witness today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curses. So therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What of Hebrews will now say, the life and death are in the power of the tongue. Right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God.
We'll see that shortly. We'll get to see some few things shortly from Deuteronomy 30. Glory to God. So what proceeds out of the man, out of the mouth, is what brings about salvation to a man. Remember, we are discussing confessional realities. Glory to God. Look at verses 18 of that Matthew 15. Look at verses 18 quickly. Matthew 15, 18. We just read it now, but I want to show you something then. Look at what it says. But these are the things. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adultery, fornication, theft, false witnesses, blasphemy. And these are the things which defile a man. Look at Proverbs chapter 6. He's reading Proverbs 6 there.
Proverbs 6. Quickly.
Verses 12. Proverbs 6, 12. For what is it? Says, a worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. Did you see that? Walks how? With a perverse mouth. Perverse mouth means he speaks blasphemy. Did you get that? Hallelujah. Perverse mouth. It says he winks with his eyes and shuffles his feet. He points with his finger. Perversity is in his heart. Did you see that? So the perverse mouth and the perverse mouth is in agreement with the word perverse heart. Did you see that? Hallelujah. He devises evil continually. He sows discord. Therefore, his calamity shall come suddenly. Suddenly, he shall be broken without remedy. You need to see this closely. Hallelujah. You need to see it closely. Hallelujah. So, what proceeds out of his mouth is in agreement with what is in his heart. Right? So, that is why Jesus will say, it's what comes proceeds out of your mouth that defiles you. Right? And not what you eat. Glory to God. Back to Matthew 15. I hope you are following me closely. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hope you are following me. Hallelujah. Because out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adultery. So the mouth will flow, will walk in accordance with the heart. Hallelujah. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So quickly, what comes as a perverse mouth is in agreement with the perverse heart. So that teaching that we just saw from Deuteronomy, that is what Moses said in Deuteronomy, is what Paul now uses to teach salvation. Did you see that? What Paul now uses to teach salvation in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 to 10. That's what Paul uses to teach salvation. Listen, it's the same thing. Eh? It's the same heart and mouth and an agreement that brings salvation, that also brings what? Condemnation is what defiles. Heart and mouth agreement defiles. Heart and mouth agreement brings salvation. Look at Mark chapter 16:15. We read that earlier. But let's look at it. Mark 16:15. It says, "Go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes that is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe." Did you see that? He who does not believe. He who does not believe means he who rejects with his mouth. Unbelief, right? He who doesn't believe, he rejects it. Everyone will be saved, right? He who doesn't believe shall be condemned. Did you see that? It's the same agreement that brings about salvation, that also brings about what? Condemnation. Agreement of the mouth and the heart. The mouth and the heart, yes. Are you following that? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Our belief is seen in our confession. We'll get there shortly. Hallelujah. Our belief is seen in our confession. We'll get there shortly. Hallelujah. So when a man rejects, he's condemned. When a man believes, he receives salvation. Right? Right? He's saved. Look at Romans chapter 10 quickly. Romans 10. This is what Paul is reading. So when you get to Romans 10, Paul is reading from Deuteronomy. Right? Reading from Deuteronomy. And we can have in the also reading from Deuteronomy 30. Also, the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 15. Hallelujah. The words of Jesus is also there in the Bible also. You know what comes into the mouth that defiles? Goes into the mouth that defiles, but what comes out of the mouth? Hallelujah. Bless you. Because it's food that goes into the mouth. No music. No words. Are you hearing me? Music goes to the ear. So don't join people that want to say nonsense. Don't want to defend nonsense. Say, why are you watching that thing? It's wrong. He said, no, it's not what comes into a man that defiles him. Are you okay? This isn't what comes into a man. Or what comes through the mouth? The mouth, right? Is it food or television? Are you hearing me? Matthew 10:10. It says, for what they have, man believes unto righteousness. I'll start from verse 9. Say, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you see, and believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Look at where Paul. Remember, we say Paul is reading from where? Deuteronomy. So if you start from verses 6, right? It does say your heart will ascend to heaven, at least to bring Christ from the dead from above. So that is what Moses is writing about. For who will descend into abyss, that is to bring Christ from the dead. But what is it? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, right? Moses now said that you may do it. Paul says the word of faith which will preach. Hallelujah. He said, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Did you see how salvation comes? Hallelujah. Agreement of the mouth and the heart as to what Jesus has done. Verse 10, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the confession comes with, the confession is in agreement with the heart. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I have in my notes, the confession comes from the heart. Comes from within the heart. That word confession, we're getting closer into our teaching. Though we'll have a whole lot of, what we're having is intro today. Confession. Though that word confess is the word homologio. 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 I have another word, homologia. Oh, look at it. Hallelujah. The word homologio is from a compound word of homo, homo, H-O-M-O-U, homo, and logos. Homo and logos. When you say homo, H-O, when you have monologue, something like that, monologue, dialogue, homologue, something like that. Hallelujah, something like that. Homo, which means it implies together. That is the word homo, together. The word logos is from the word lego. I would like to give a definition from the strong a strong dictionary. It says, speaking something, I mean, it implies speaking something said, speaking of something said, including thoughts, by implication, a topic, a subject of discourse, also reasoning or motives. That word logos, it implies speaking
something said, which will include thoughts by implication, a topic that is a subject of discourse, also reasoning or a motive. Therefore, when you bring these words together, homologia or homo, what we have in English as homologue, it will imply together speaking. You get that? Together speaking. To speak in agreement with two or more people. To speak in agreement. Are you following me? Together speaking. Speaking in agreement with two or more people. Hallelujah. To speak in agreement. Homologue. So, what Paul is saying when he says, if you confess with our mouth, is Paul is saying that our confession for salvation is in agreement with our belief. Hallelujah. Which is in agreement with our heart. What we believe in our heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it's in agreement with what we believe in our heart and in the scriptures. Glory to God. Information from the scriptures that is believed in our hearts. So the confession is in agreement with it. Hallelujah. This is how the believer confession is. Agreement. Hallelujah. What you've come to believe in your heart. Hallelujah. And for salvation. This now becomes your confession. Glory to God. John says similar thing. John says something similar to what Paul is saying. In 1 John 1:9, it's similar. But though a lot of people think it's not similar, 1 John 1:9. Look at what he says here. He says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we don't have no sin, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Do you know that this is the same to what Paul is saying in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 to 10? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Firstly, before we get to look at what John is saying here, let's take some things clear. Homologia, which is confession, in the New Testament, is always related to Jesus. Before we get to look at what John is saying, is always related to Jesus. Look at Romans chapter 14, verse 11. It's always related to Jesus. Romans 14, 11. Are you there? He says, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Did you see that? It's in relation to Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you seeing that? Philippians 2:10. Watch down to Philippians 2:10. Are you there? That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and earth, right? And those under the earth. And every tongue should what? Confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God and Father. Hallelujah. I mean, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. Confession is always related to Jesus. Are you following me? See, someone say, it's just Paul you quoted. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4:14. We'll get to look at Hebrews 4:14 again next week. It says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Did you see that? Let us hold fast our confession. He's in relation to Jesus. I follow him. He's in relation to Jesus. He's related to Jesus. So our confession in the New Testament is Jesus. Do you see that? All true, what we've read now is Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is what he has done for us in his death, burial, and resurrection. What he has done is what we confess.
Glory to God. Therefore, confession is used. Confession is not used to speak about sin.
I know there are some people who go to confess their sin.
But confession in the Bible is never used as regards to sin. Or to confess before the throne of grace. Oh, let's come to the throne of grace right now. Now let's confess our sins. We are before the throne of God, you know. In front of cookies.
Let's approach the throne of grace. Let's confess our sins.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
I remember around 2010 or 2011, we had someone who attended our meeting for about 2-3 months or thereabout. He now called me one day and now asked me. He said, "Sir, I observed something." I said, "What did you observe?" He said, "I observed that you guys don't talk about sin here." I said, "How?" He said, "When you people pray, at least when you pray, that sometimes our prayers don't go above the ceiling." I said, "Are you not attending meeting here this long?" Then sometimes your prayer don't go above the ceiling. It might be because of your sin. Most of all, we'll plead for forgiveness of our sin. I said, wonderful. And you've been attending this meeting for 3 months. It's just what I observe that people don't plead your sin. So when you people are praying, I usually just confess my sin and the sins of everybody. I say, you're the high priest here then. Hallelujah. I said, this is interesting. Glory to God. Interesting. Amen. It's interesting to hear someone say that. You know that I've been in a place before where somebody prayed and prayed. When they now said amen, let's share the grace. Remember we're about to share the grace. You know, in this part of the world, grace, you share the grace to show that you want to end the service or the prayer. I share the grace. We're about to share the grace. I said, please, this is way to be with. But before we share the grace, he said, "Lord, everywhere we've wronged you, knowingly and unknowingly, consciously and unconsciously." I used to remember all these things before. He says, "By error of omission, commission, say, Lord, we have some mercy. Come and forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness that we may be pure again." Amen. So now let's share the grace. I'm like, this is interesting. Interesting. Glory to God. Look. Interesting. So the interest, I was just looking, I was just laughing. Glory to God. But is it wrong if someone is in a gathering of people and somebody says, "What should I do? Should I go to pray?" And you don't pray, I pray. You know, I taught us in the church, local church, and I, you must learn to accommodate everyone. Right? So listen to that message very well. Hallelujah. Because irrespective of our denominational affiliation, our knowledge about the scriptures, we are all in Christ once we are saved. Hallelujah. Are you following me? So learn to accommodate people. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
But how did I get here? So our confession in the New Testament, is Jesus, right? Right? And what he has done for us in his death, burial, and resurrection. So we do not confess sins. It's not for confession of sin. When you use the word confession, it's not all true scriptures, never used for sin or to confess before the throne of grace. No. Hallelujah. Our confession is in his accomplishment. What Jesus has accomplished for us. Hallelujah. Take note, what Jesus has accomplished for us. What Jesus has accomplished for the believers. I want to actually also say something here. Something that we also say when we begin our series on understanding the gospel is on the fact that, see, what Jesus has died for. Listen to this. Anything the unbeliever have access to or can get without praying for it. Or by his labor. Anything an unbeliever can get by his labor. Jesus did not die for it. Did you get me? Anything an unbeliever can get or has, Jesus didn't die for it. Glory to God. So you want to know what Jesus died for. What his accomplishment is for. Hallelujah. So you don't start
Let's leave that for today. We'll get to see that as we discuss on a Sunday gospel.
Glory to God.
Oh God, set to my mouth with a good drum. You are in your house. Set to my mouth with a drum. Oh God, you know you died. Oh, you became poor. That you through that your poverty I will be rich. Interesting. The richest man in the world is not born again. So who became poor for him? Watch your doctrine. It is smelly. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you go to work. Go to school and have first class. Don't come out with third class. Go and have first class. The richest man in the world is an entrepreneur, so become one. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Go to good schools. And learn book. Let's continue. So where were we? Let's take it up from here. So our confession is in his accomplishment. What is his accomplishment? One of his accomplishments, or his accomplishment, 2 Corinthians 5:21. He says, 2 Corinthians 5:21, put the rest right there. He is the propitiation for our sins. Hallelujah. 5:21, 2 Corinthians. He says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He made him sin. Jesus was made sin. Therefore, confession is not used for sin. Why? Because Jesus was made sin for us. Did you see that? Hallelujah. It's not used for sin. So as to get forgiven. Not confessing your sin. Rather, we are to confess what Jesus did to sin and our sins. Did you get that? We are to confess what Jesus did to sin and our sins, not to confess our sins. Did you get that?
Yes.
We confess what Jesus did to sin and our sins. Are you following that?
Yes.
Hallelujah. He became sin sacrifice. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
What did he do to sin? He paid sin. Hallelujah. He paid for it fully. Glory to God. He put it away internally.
Hallelujah.
Did you see that? He became a sin sacrifice.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
He became sin sacrifice.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. So we confess what Jesus did to sin, inclusive of our sin. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
We don't confess our sins, but we confess what Jesus did to sin. What did he do to sin? He paid it fully and took it away eternally. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
By the sacrifice of himself. So forgiveness of sin is not what we confess to receive. No. We don't confess, every time I confess, oh Lord, I'm a sinner. Come on. Lord, I've sinned, I've wronged you. Every time I've sinned against you, knowing you or knowing me, consciously or unconsciously, error, commission, omission, come and forgive me. So you say that every day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're getting somewhere. Hallelujah. We're getting somewhere. Hallelujah. So forgiveness of sin is what is not what we confess to receive, but rather what we have received in the new birth. Forgiveness of sin is what we have received, not what we want to call receive. What we have received the day we got saved. That's what we've received. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's called ephesis, the total removal. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1:7. Look at how the writers of the epistles will put it. They will use it in the past tense. Ephesians 1:11, to show that we have received it. Ephesians 1:7. It says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. It says, in him we have what? Redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So that's what we have. We have. Hallelujah. It is ours. Hallelujah. We have the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. Say, I have
received
the forgiveness of sins.
In Christ
Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have it. Colossians 2:13. Look at Colossians. So the writers of the epistles, they don't write forgiveness of sin as what we will get. No, but what we have gotten. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Glory to God. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. It says, "And you being dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made alive together with him." Hallelujah. "Having forgiven you all trespasses." Did you see that? "Having forgiven you" is what we receive. Hallelujah. Are you seeing that? "Having forgiven you all trespasses." Colossians 1:14. He says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin." We have it. We are not trying to get it. No. It's only a man who is not saved that doesn't have forgiveness of sins. But when a man is saved, when a man is born again, he has received the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Amen. Okay. Mama. Okay. Therefore, what John also will be communicating in John 1:9 will not be us confessing our sins to get forgiveness. No. It's to confess what Jesus has done to sin. Hallelujah. We'll get to see it now. Let's see. Does John support the fact that as believers will receive forgiveness of sin in the new birth? Yes. 1 John 2. Just look at that 1 John 1. Look at that 1 John 1. Are you following me? Look at 1 John 1. Verses 9. It says, "If we confess our sins, it's simple and just to forgive our sins, right? And cleanse you from all your unrighteousness." See, he doesn't know, read on. He says, "If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the word is not in us." He said, "My little children, these things I write to you, so that you may know that you may not sin." Did you see that? "I write to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus the righteous." Are you following me? Jesus the righteous. We have. If anyone sins, sir, can a believer still sin? Yes. Yes, now. But what is when he sins? Now, I'm not teaching. There's what you call, it's something we'll get to. I told us about how to treat the concept of sin, right? Right? Uh-huh. So, getting prepared. Hallelujah. We have all this. But when a believer does what is wrong, listen, it's a believer who does no, I have not said that. Hallelujah. And like I said, the believer has lost his forgiveness of sin. No. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, when a believer does what is wrong, he is remorseful, right? It doesn't take away the fact that you become remorseful. But that doesn't make you...
Let me not use the word that I will come back to start to be working again.
That doesn't make you a... Or that doesn't nullify you from being... For... That doesn't nullify your forgiveness of sins you've received. Because the forgiveness of sins you've received is the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. It doesn't nullify. It doesn't make you less forgiving. No. No, it doesn't. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And that's why the scripture teaches us that we'll put off. Right? We'll put off those functions. Right? We'll put off those members, those functions. Put off those practices. Put them off. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. So chapter 1. He said, "My little children," he said, "if anyone sins," he said, "we have." That word "have" again is a possessive, right? It's possessive. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus the righteous. He himself is a propitiation for our sins. And not only for us, but also for the whole world. Did you see that? He is the sin sacrifice. That's what he's saying. Do you see that? He said, if anyone sins, he said, we have. That person should rest assured. No, we have. Have means we have received. Hallelujah. An advocate. Glory to God. Did you get that? May we forget of sin is what we have received. Hallelujah. We have it. Glory to God. It answers Jesus, though righteous, he is the propitiation for our sins. That is, he is the sin sacrifice. Hallelujah. Are you following me? He's the sin sacrifice that makes us okay. Glory to God. Not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. Are you following me? Not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. So, how does the one who is not saved? Jesus didn't die for believers alone. He died for everyone, right? But everyone who is not yet saved would have to obtain it. How will he obtain it? Romans chapter 10, 9 to 10. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You obtain it, Romans 10, 9 to 10, when you believe. Are you following me? John 20. He said, whosoever sin you forgive, he's forgiven. Right? And whosoever you retain, he's retained. Are you following me? Are you following me? It comes when a man believes. Are you following me? Okay. Or you want me to come to say something you missed? Did you miss anything? Because we are going deeper in it. Glory to God. Do you want me to take back something? Okay. Hallelujah. So let's move ahead. So observe, we have an advocate with the Father, right? Right? So we have it. It's not a feeling. It's not a reaction. Do you get? It's not a feeling. Not a feeling. Glory to God. It's not a feeling. It's not. You might feel, but the reality, the word of God is reality. It's not a feeling. Glory to God. It doesn't matter how I feel, I have received. Glory to God. We have an advocate. It's not a feeling. He said Jesus is the propitiation. He is the offering for sin. Romans 3:25. He the offering for sin. Romans 3:25. So the confession with the mouth that Jesus is now. So the confession will be. Okay, sorry. The confession with the mouth that Jesus is the propitiation for sin is faith. Did you see that? The confession with the mouth that Jesus is sin offering is faith. Is belief. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Look at 1 John 1:7. 1 John 3:5 and 2:12. Let's start from 1 John 1:7. Look at what it says. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Did you see that? Chapter 2, verse 12. It says, I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you in his name's sake. Your sins are forgiven. Is it your sins will be forgiven you? Eh? Are forgiven. Glory to God, what you have received. Amen. 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 Glory to God. I love what the preacher said. He said, Jesus didn't just die for your past sins or your present sins. He died both for the past, present, and future sins. I like that. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Chapter 3, verse 5. It says, and you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Did you see that? He is manifested. Where was he manifested? The incarnation. This is the incarnation. Hallelujah. The incarnation is manifested to take away sin. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So John also teaches that sin is taken away in Christ. Can you see that? John teaches that sin is taken away in Christ. So when a man believes the gospel, he is saved.
When a man believes the gospel, he says he received forgiveness on sins, and we believe by speaking, right? Right? We believe by speaking. I want you to take this down. So now when we now get back to 1 John 1:9. That's where we are. Right? We need to cross this today. And then we'll take it up again from next week. We'll take up some other things from James and conclude next week. Reading from verses 1. 1 John. Look at the verses. Okay, let's read from verse 1. I mean from verse 5. Because of time. Verse 5. Hallelujah. From verse 5. It says, this is the message which we've heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But because we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Look at the sharp difference. Look at verses 7 into 8. Verse 7 says, the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from our sins. Did you see that? Verse 8 now says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and the word is not in us. It's as if, what do you observe? There's a sharp cut from verse 7 into verse 8. Look at it critically. Look at it critically. What can you observe? Can you see? Hallelujah. Definitely. John was not writing to the same set of people. He was not talking to the same set of people in verse 7 and verse 8. Look at that sharp cut. Sharp difference. He was not talking to the same set of people. Look at it very well. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Can you see that? Amen. Amen. So let's see who is John writing to. Well, John gives us, unlike if you read 2 John, we know he's writing to the elder, the elect lady, right? 2 John, the elect lady and her children. He's writing to someone. In 3 John, we know he was writing to Gaius, right? The elder, to the beloved Gaius. But when it gets to John 1, he's writing to the church. But we don't know whether who the audience. We couldn't. John didn't leave us with this, who the audience was, right? But from what he's writing, we know that he's writing to a congregation. He's writing to a congregation where they had both believers and non-believers. Hallelujah! Glory to God. He's writing to a congregation where they had where they were believers and non-believers. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. So they had, when are they believers? Those who were saved and those who are not saved. So, verse 7 audience will be for the believers. Say, if we say, he said, but because we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus is on cleanses us from all sins. You see that? Cleanses us from all sins. He's talking about the Father who receive forgiveness of sins. Glory to God. See, verse 8 does say, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. There's a sharp cut. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So therefore, the audience in verse 7 and 8 are not the same. Hallelujah. 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 They're not. He has said, if we confess our sins, he can't be writing to believers and telling believers, if we remember his use of confess. Can we write him to believe and say he will confess our sin?
He says not just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
No. Because of verse 8, we know that verse 9 will be similar to what? First of all, will be similar to Romans chapter 10, verses 9 to 10. Though Romans was written to believers, are you following me? Was written to believers, but here he's writing it to them so that they would believe. Are you following me? Glory to God. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
So let's see. He said, we'll confess our sins. Now, that word confess, we say, is the mouth in agreement with the heart, right? Right?
Yes, sir.
Right? The mouth in agreement with the heart. And when that happens, what do we say? In from Romans 10, verses 9 to 10, we receive forgiveness of sins. Right? Right? Which is what? The sacrifice of Jesus. Hallelujah. Was that what we said? Was that what we said?
Yes,
remember, we're discussing confessional reality. You need to get this. Don't miss it. Amen. I'll take that again. So when you come, when you say confess here, the mouth is, we say confess is the word homologio, which implies the mouth and the heart in agreement, right? The mouth in agreement with the heart. So, and we said when that happens, looking at Romans, it says we are saved, right? That is what brings about salvation, right? Right? That's what brings about salvation. We receive forgiveness of sin once by the sacrifice of Christ. So when this happens, we receive forgiveness of sin, right? Right? And remember, look at verses 8. The audience has changed. So, quickly, what John is writing here in verses 19, he will confess our sins. When you see, if we confess our sin, will he be confessing our sins or confessing what Jesus did to sin? Is he confessing our sin or confessing what Jesus did to sin? Okay, so look at this. So if we say, if we confess, or can we put if our, okay, let's put it that way. If our heart and mouth are in agreement, we are replacing the word confess. If our heart and our mouth are in agreement, that Jesus is the sin sacrifice. Are you following me? Remember, it's not our sins, but what Jesus did to sin. Right? So, if our heart and mouth are in agreement, as to what Jesus, that Jesus is the propitiation of sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us. Now that word our sin, our there is italicized. It means it was not in the original. So he's faithful and just to forgive us sins. Did you see that? Did you see that? He's faithful and just to forgive us sins and cleanse us from what? Unrighteousness. So that hour there will make you look as if John is inclusive, but he's telling you John is. So for you to, if you take away that hour, you see that John was not putting himself in that place. Did you get? Hallelujah. So if our heart and mouth is in agreement that Jesus is the propitiation of sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us sins, right? And cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So the confession here is a confession of Jesus too. Are you following me? It's the confession of Jesus. It's in relation to Jesus. The confession of Jesus has done. So what now? The confession of what Jesus has done. Now we're going to get to see this from next week. So the unbeliever will bring him to faith. Hallelujah. So the unbeliever will bring him to faith. Then what about to the believer? We'll get to see that next week. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you following me? To the unbeliever, he will bring him to faith. What Jesus has done. Glory to God. Glory to God. Are you learning something? Are you learning something? Okay, turn to your neighbor and show your neighbor what you learned today. Don't let it share.